Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
I want to read a passage of Scripture to you, and then we'll begin. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to continue with the greatest gift this morning. But in Luke 2, it goes on. This is after he's born. This is after he says that joy and peace is coming. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And he's born in a barn. He's born in a manger. But it goes on and describes two people that I want to talk about this morning. In Luke 2:25, it says, as they came to the temple to fulfill this requirement, an elderly man was there waiting, a resident of Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. He was a very good man, a lover of God, who kept himself pure, and the spirit of holiness rested upon him. Simeon believed in the imminent appearing of the one called the Refreshing of Israel. For the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. For this reason, the Holy Spirit had moved him to be in the temple court at the very moment Jesus' parents entered to fulfill the requirement of the sacrifice. Simeon cradled the baby in his arms and praised God and prophesied, saying, Lord and Master, I am your loving servant, and now I can die content, for your promise is to me has been fulfilled. With my own eyes, I have seen your word, the Savior you sent into the world. He will be glory for your people Israel and the revelation light for all people everywhere. Mary and Joseph stood there awestruck over what was being said about their baby. Simeon then blessed them and prophesied over Mary, saying, a painful sword will one day pierce your inner being, for your child will be rejected by many in Israel. And the destiny of your child is this: he will be laid down as a miracle sign for the downfall and resurrection of many in Israel. Many will oppose this sign, but it will expose to all the innermost thoughts of their hearts before God. A prophetess named Anna was also in the temple court that day. She was from the Jewish tribe of Asher and the daughter of Phanuel. Anna was an aged widow who had been married only 7 years before her husband passed away, she chose to worship God in the temple continually. For the past 84 years, she had been serving God with night and day prayer and fasting. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Lord, I pray that this morning we'd leave here changed, set free, delivered. Thank you, Lord, for your redemptive power, your redemptive work. Lord, we stand in faith this morning that you're turning things around, not only in our life, but God, you're turning things around in America. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Well, who's happy they came on the last Sunday of 2020? Come on, who's thankful for that? This is our last Sunday together this year, but I want to encourage you next year, come to church next year. January 3rd, Pastors Ty and Luann, they'll be ministering. It'll be a very prophetic service, and I'm telling you, if you need a miracle in your life, in your body, in your family, you come next week. I believe you'll be blessed. But I just want to take this time this morning on the last Sunday, and I want to thank God for his faithfulness and his steadfastness for us in 2020, the year from you know what. Come on, how many of y'all thankful that you're still here today? You're still here today. There's people that are in pine boxes, but you know what? You're still alive and well and declaring the works of the Lord. How many of y'all thankful that he's provided for you? He supplies all your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on. How many of y'all thankful for that? I'm telling you, there has been marriages that have been separated in 2020. There's turmoil that's come in 2020. But I can stand here and thank my Savior, Jesus Christ, that he's been steadfast, unmovable. Come on. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Am I the only one who's excited that Jesus is still on the throne? He's still the King of Kings. He's still the Lord of Lords. Sorry about that. No, I ain't sorry. I want to do something this morning for the end of the year. If you have your Bible, go ahead and hold your Bible up. If you don't have your Bible, shame on you. Or maybe you have it on your phone. I hope your Bible is charged, Miss Carrie. All right? All right? Listen, if you're going to make it, I'm doing something. If you're going to make it in 2021, you're not going to make it without this baby right here. You are not going to make it without this right here. And so I wanted to put something out there for you. And listen, I have an iPad here, and I have several different versions on there, but I thank God for the written word of the Lord. In fact, I'm going to share something today that I went through not this Bible, this one's pretty new, but an older Bible of mine, and went through all the times throughout the New Testament where Jesus said he is coming back for the church. And the reason that I knew that was not because of Google, not from another preacher, because I wrote it down in my Bible and I marked it that I have hope that Jesus is coming back for you and me. And I'm telling you, there's something about that, having it right out there in front of you. He said, write the vision down and make it plain. And I'm telling you, it's hard to write it on a tablet. Tablets die. Tablets get viruses. Tablets get some things. Come on. This never dies. Oh, I can feel it. I can tell. There's nothing like a new Bible smell or an old musty Bible smell. Come on. But I want you to say this after me. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. This morning, I'm going to be taught the ever-living, incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I will never, ever, ever be the same again. Batman was nothing without the Batmobile, and I am nothing without the Word of God. Come on, give the Lord an amen this morning. Sometimes on YouTube, I watch some old John Osteen's, and that's what he does, and it fires me up. I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Who's with me this morning? All right. As I was studying yesterday morning, I believe this for 2021. I believe this for the longest time in America, the church has been the silent church. I shared this with Pastor yesterday as I was praying. The Lord, I believe he wanted me to share with you that in 2021, Arena of Life, I can't say this for other places, but I believe this in 2021, and we've already started, honestly, I believe that. But we're not going to be the silent church anymore. We're going to be the speaking church, and we're going to speak to God. We're going to speak to each other, and we're going to speak to the world. Come on, give the Lord an amen for that. We're going to speak to God. The reason why we're at the place that we're at, I was watching a deal the other day. The problem that's with conservatives is this. Conservatives don't know when to speak up. They say, oh, it's just okay. You know what? I'm not going to be a PC type of person. I'm telling you, I'm going to be somebody that speaks the truth in love. Come on, there is loved ones that need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's coworkers that you have that need to know the truth of the gospel. Come on, it will set them free as it has set you free. And we need to be the speaking church. We need to speak to God. You need to be in prayer in 2021. Pastor, it's hard for me. Well, you got to start somewhere. I'm telling you, you will find something in your spirit growing when you begin to pray. We need to speak to each other, build each other up. The Bible says confess your sins one to another, and there is freedom that comes from that. And we need to be a church that speaks to the world. The Bible says in Romans 15, 13, going along with what I've been preaching on, the greatest gift, it says this, may the God of hope, how many of y'all know we serve the God of hope this morning? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you were here for the New Year's Eve, I did a recap of the greatest gift. And one of the things that he says in Luke 2, verse 10, he says, joy will be for all. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. How many of y'all in 2021, you're going to be somebody who is filled with joy? Come on, just go ahead and raise your hand in faith. I'm going to be somebody. I'm not going to let the news be the outcome of my attitude. I am going to have something greater on the inside of me. In his presence, Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Joy is this. Joy is the only response to God's presence and activity in your life. I'm telling you, when I get in God's presence, there is a joy that comes over me. It may be falling apart at Congress. It may be falling apart in the Senate, in the House. But in this house, in this temple, and in this body, it's going to be overflowing with joy. I'm making the choice right now. And the choices that I make today are going to be full of joy. The Bible says in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm telling you, if you came in here and your spirit is weak this morning, if you just grab a hold of the joy that he brought as a baby boy, you will leave here with strength inside of your bones and in your veins and in your spirit. Come on. Your kids need to see joy all over you. Your husband needs to see joy on you. Come on, wives. Your husbands, your wife needs to see joy all over you. Look at your neighbor and just smile. Smile. Fake it until you make it if you need to. Show them some teeth. Oh, I see some teeth over here. Come on. The next one is this. He said in Luke 2:14, he said, glory to God in the highest on earth, goodwill toward men. We need to be people of peace. We need to pray and ask for peace. In Philippians 4:6-7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, everybody say everything. In everything, todo, everything. Everything by prayer and supplication. Make your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind. I'm here to tell you this morning, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. And there's something about when you get in the presence of God and you begin to pray, you're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Come on, you're reminded if he was there with David, with the giant, as we sang about the champion this morning, he will be in those champion situations with you. Come on, you begin to pray, you'll be reminded that he was there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He will be there with you. If he was there with Jonah inside the belly of a whale in all darkness, he'll be there with you. If he was there with the Apostle John inside the island of Patmos inside of a cave, he will be there with you. I'm telling you, you just begin to pray, and the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, will rise up on the inside of you. Come on, you need to have some victory. Victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So he came to bring peace. But this morning, I want to talk about hope. It says in Luke 2:14, in Passion Translation, it said, glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men. How many of y'all know we're living in a time where we need some hope? The basis of our walk with Christ is built on faith. It says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It says now faith for a reason, because we ain't going to need faith when we get to heaven. How many of y'all know you'll have a glorified body? You'll be walking and healing. I believe we'll see loved ones there. There's loved ones that I can't wait to meet when I get there. But it says now faith for a reason, that on this earth you need now faith today. How many of y'all believe you need now faith on December 27th, 2020, just as much as you need it yesterday and tomorrow, you're going to need it as well. But it says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, it's hard for us to have faith in God. One we can't touch, one we can't see, one we can't smell. And believe, that's all the basis of faith. But the only way we can have faith is, it says, from things hoped for. You got to have hope. Everybody say hope. You have to have hope in order to have faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. In Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. How many of y'all know when your heart doesn't have hope in it, there's a sick, it's sickening, isn't it? I'm telling you, there's some times throughout this year when it felt like all hope was sucked out of me. It's almost like something comes over you. People are depressed today because they have no hope. People are drinking today because they have no hope. People are going back to some old substances that they were set free from at one time because hope has been drained from them, and there's a sickness that has came over in their mind. I'm telling you, The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, it says this, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I could give you any hope this morning, all I have to do is cry out to Jesus, because hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, how many of y'all believe hope has a name, and his name is Jesus? His name is Jesus. In Romans 8:28, it says this. I want to touch this. I want to talk about how he has hope for our past. He has hope for our today, and he has hope for our future. And I want to really hit it home. I won't start preaching until we get to the future part there, because I believe God has some great things in store for us. Do you believe that? He has hope for our past. And if you don't have this scripture, come on, in your heart, just blazed in there, you need to have this. This is a great scripture in Romans 8:28. This is amplified. It says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." He says all things work together. That word all things means panta in the Greek. And pan means this, all encompassing. Ta means this, minute, minuscule details. It means all things, absolutely there is nothing that is excluded. That word work together means this, synerged in the Greek. And it means to cooperate, to work together, to complement, to assist. It portrays components working together to mutually accomplish a task. Now let me put it in the scripture for you. And if you don't shout for this, I don't know what you'll shout for. It says, "And we know that God causes every minute, minuscule detail in all things, absolutely nothing excluded, to cooperate, work together, complement, assist for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose." I don't know why you went through drug abuse. Actually, I do know why, because of some choices. But I'm here to tell you, don't let that drug abuse beat you down of that person that you used to be. You are now somebody, new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. Come on, I'm here to tell you this morning, even for America, it assisted us in 1776, and it will assist us in 2020 today. Can I get an amen? I'm telling you, there's people that are trying to come in now and rewrite that Constitution, but I'm telling you that Constitution, because by the Spirit of God was wrote, it is assisting us today. Come on, it is assisting us today. I got so fed up in the early of the year, them tearing down statues and people that meant something. I'm telling you, it's because of those men and those things we are where we are today, because it assisted us. There is hope for your past. It assisted David. When he went before the giant, he said, "If God was there with me with the lion and the bear, surely he will be with me on this uncircumcised Philistine." It's the same way with you. If you're in a battle, if you're in a crisis, if you're up against a wall, I'm telling you, that battle is not in vain. That past failure, that past hurt, it can assist you into victory in your life today. Amen? Come on, it assisted Joseph. It assisted him when he was in the pit. If he wasn't in the pit, he wouldn't have been sold as a slave before Potiphar. If he wasn't in Potiphar's house, he wouldn't have learned the Hebrew language. And if he wouldn't have learned the Hebrew language when he went into the prison, he wouldn't have been promoted to the status that he was in. See, it was his past things, his past hurts, his past places that promoted him to what God had in store for his life. Come on, there is hope for our past. There was hope for Joshua as well. If God helped me cross the Jordan, he will help me with this big place they call Jericho. Whatever you've been up against, there is hope for your past that can assist you today. Amen? There's hope for your today. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 2:17 and 18. "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire." This is New King James. Verse 18. "Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul." This is the I, Paul. This is the guy that had been chained inside of a jail cell. This is the guy that had been shipwrecked. This is the guy that had been snake bit. This is the guy that had been stoned. And not in Colorado. This is the guy that had had his hair pulled out. Come on, this is the guy. He said, I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. How many of y'all know there's an enemy out there? He's called the devil. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give life and life more abundantly. I want to give you a little bit of hope this morning. If you're up against a place where you don't know how you got there, I want to remind you of this text. He said, even I, Paul, I was trying to get somewhere, but Satan hindered me. I'm telling you, don't be scared of the hindrance. That means there is a will, there is a plan, there is something God has big in your future that the enemy says, if he just gets there, I know he will defeat me. But you know what? This just says hindered. This doesn't mean stop. Come on, this means hindered. This doesn't mean stop. And if you get a revelation of this, Satan means this. The word Satan means one who hates, one who accuses, one who slanders or conspires against. All right, so we see this time and again, but the hater, the accuser. How many of y'all have some haters out there? All right. The hater, the accuser, the slanderer, the conspiring against me, what he did is hindered us. The word hinder means this, ekkopto. It means used to portray a runner coming alongside another runner to elbow him out of the race or to hinder a competitor's effectiveness. It also means this, it pictures a road that has been deteriorated or broken up that was impassable. So the traveler's trip was hindered, delayed, postponed, or temporarily cut off, presents the idea of a disruption. Come on, raise your hand if in 2020 there has been a little bit of elbowing or a little bit of disruption along the way. Come on, be bold this morning. You know why there has been that? It's because the devil doesn't want you to do the will of God. And you need to be reminded of this because just last Thursday, I ran into somebody that I hadn't seen in a while, and he told me this. He said, you know, God gave me COVID, but I made it through it. How many of y'all believe God does not give COVID? God does not give cancer. Come on, some of y'all need to hear this because you have some family members that bring it up and say, no, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I know there's an enemy out there that tries to elbow me. There is times where I have, you know, there's times where I have some things that come over me. You know what I tell him? I tell the enemy to get under my feet. I cast him down into utter darkness. Come on, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. He said, I, Paul, he's the same one that wrote in Ephesians 6:10. I believe that he writes, I, Paul, even I. I'm telling you, even the elite people of faith, they get hindered. They get hindered. And he writes it, and it's a great example for us of hope that we can grab a hold of today. But he wrote in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to go up against the wiles of the enemy. He said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Come on, your struggle is not against that in-law. Your struggle is not against that neighbor. Your struggle is not against that boss. Your struggle is not against that idiot on Facebook that always wants to fight with you. Come on, amen, somebody. Your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers over darkness and wickedness in high places. He said, the times when I get hindered, I get strong in the Lord and in the power of my might. Come on, if his might. What I do is I put on the full armor of God, and I'm here to tell you, you can have hope for today, and you can have hope for 2021, but you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. I believe that with all my heart. Pastor, you're passionate. You're yelling. Yes, I am. Because I'm telling you, the weak won't make it. Only the strong. And there's an enemy out there that wants to elbow you, but I thank God for scriptures like this in Ephesians 6:10 that tells me that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I can be more than a conqueror. Now I'm going to get to my text. He has hope for our future. Come on, look at your neighbor and he says he has hope for your future. He has hope for your future. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. There's hope for your future. And you know, the whole hope of the church, the hope that the church has been based on for all these years is Jesus is coming back for the church. Jesus taught it. his disciples believe it. He told his disciples there would be an end of the age and that he would return. I was in somebody's house the other day, and they had something called the Apostles' Creed. I'd never seen it before, but apparently, according to him and his church, it's something that they said over and over inside of their religious background. But one of the things that I read on there was he will return to judge the living and the dead. The Lord's Supper this morning, as we studied that in 1 Corinthians 11, the instruction is to do it in remembrance until he comes again. The Lord's Prayer, what do we pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how many of y'all know as long as there is man here, there is wickedness here? But when Jesus comes, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know what? I can still pray over my life and my family that his kingdom come and his will be done. The Old Testament is so full of that he reveals hope to them for their future that a Savior was coming. We read about it in Isaiah chapter 9. We see it actually in the book of Genesis. But we see in Isaiah 9 that there is a place of darkness in the earth today, but there is joy that is coming, and there is a light, and he's a baby, and he's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. They prophesy his coming. They prophesy it in Joshua 49 that there is something from the tribe of Jesse, from the tribe of Judah, that he's a lion of the tribe of Judah. And we've been studying in Luke chapter 2 of finally he comes. But in the New Testament, some things that I wrote down of the hope for our future that Christ is coming for the church. In Matthew, he is betrayed as Christ, as the bridegroom coming to receive his bride. In Mark 13:34, it is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. In Luke 19, we see him, therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. In John 14, we see, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In 1 Corinthians 15, he's coming to awaken and raise the dead. We see in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God that's coming, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Come on, how many of y'all going to be thankful for that new house, that new tabernacle, that new life? Philippians 3 says this, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Can I get an amen? In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, it says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. 2 Thessalonians 2:1 says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask of you. In Titus 2:13, it says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In James 5:7, it says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. The whole book of Revelation is there's revelation of a resurrected Jesus that comes to a man named the Apostle John. But in Revelation 19, he has fire in his eyes. Come on. It says this, verse 11, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, a cowboy. Come on, somebody. And who sat on him was called Faithful and True. Come on, how many of y'all can say that Jesus has been faithful and he's been true to you? And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of our great God. Come on, give the Lord praise this morning that he's coming back, and that's hope for our future. But as I first read this morning out of Luke chapter 2, something that we don't normally read this time of the year, he gives us joy, he gives us peace, but he gives us hope. What can we do until he comes? You know what preparation does? Preparation brings hope. It brings hope. Just like at the end of October when we put up the tree. You can judge all you want to. But what did it do in my children? It brought a preparation that Christmas is coming. That a gift is coming. It brought hope to my children. You know, it's the same way with us. There may be some things. Maybe there's... You know that something is going to be given to you, or you have expectation of something, and you begin to prepare for those things. You begin to prepare. I believe us as a nation, we need to prepare that hope of hope that Jesus is coming. And there's some things that I see from the text that are read in Luke 2 of two people that their whole life of being in the Word of God and reading the stories and prophecies of Isaiah and Daniel, that a Savior was coming. There's some things that they did that brought hope to them that Jesus, the Messiah, was coming. And there's some things that I want to glean from these two people this morning practically that you and I can do to grab a hold of what Simeon and what Anna did to prepare that Jesus was coming to them. And I believe in America today, if we do these, begin to do these types of things in our life, as we prepare, as we have that hope on the inside of us that Jesus is coming back for the church, I believe that revival will not only happen in you, but it will happen in this city. I believe that it will happen. A great shaking, a great awakening is coming to this land. But there are things that you can do today to bring hope back into your circumstance. We read in verse 25 of Luke 2:25, Simeon. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. I read about Simeon that he was a scholar. In fact, he was the highest notable scholar of the word. That Simeon, who was righteous and devout, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I want to ask you this morning, if you can prepare for Jesus coming back for the church, you know how you can prepare? You can be somebody who is righteous. Come on, I'm going to say that again. What we see about Simeon waiting for Jesus to come, he was a man who was righteous. You know how you can bring hope into your circumstance and hope into your atmosphere and hope in your family? Men, I'm talking to the dads out there. You need to be a man that is righteous. I'm talking to the ladies and the moms out there. If you have hope back into your circumstance, you need to be a lady that is righteous. You know what righteousness is? It's right standing with God. In the Passion Translation, it says he was a good man. Let me ask this about you, your coworkers. Do they say that you're a good man? Do your coworkers say that you're a good woman? Come on, goodness, does it flow out of you? Does righteousness flow out of you? Are there things that every day you get offended about? Things that you get tore up and shook up about? Are you right standing with God? Is there secret sins that are in your life that is keeping you separated from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I'm here to ask you how you can have hope in your life. I'm here to ask you, is there things in your life that are not righteous? I believe that this morning it can be a wake-up call to you. You can be like Simeon here and be right standing with God, a good man. It says this, he was righteous, but he was devout. He was a lover of God, and he was a devout person is somebody who is committed. Are you a committed person? Do you flake out? The first of the year here, I'm going to put something on you guys and encourage you guys to read the Word of God throughout the year. Do you make it to the second week of January? Or do you make it to the second week of March? Or do you make it to the second week? I'm telling you, if you're going to be somebody who has preparation of hope for your future, you need to be somebody who is committed to the Word of God. You need to be committed to prayer. You need to be committed to the house of God. He was somebody who was righteous. He was somebody who was devout. And then in verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Verse 27 says, he was moved by the Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you? I'm telling you, you are not going to make it in preparation for Jesus' return if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that you begin to that mysteries would be revealed unto you. He had the Holy Spirit on him. Things were revealed to him by the Spirit of God. This was before he poured out the Spirit that we see in John 14, that I'm going to send you a helper. I'm telling you, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. What I see in verse 37 about this lady Anna, what I saw in Simeon was he was righteous, he was devout, the Holy Spirit was on him. But in verse 37, Anna, we see, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. What I see about this woman Anna is we can do the same thing, is we need to be committed to the temple. Come on, we need to be committed to the house of God. I'm telling you, there is strength that comes when you get in the house of God. There is faith that comes when you get in the house of God. Those of you that are watching online, hey, we love you. We thank God that you're here. But I'm telling you, there is something that happens when you get in the house of God. Your faith increases. I'm telling you, the fruits of the Spirit are evidence. The gifts of the Spirit are evident on the inside of you. Just like this lady here, she was expecting the Messiah to come, and there were some things that she did. She was committed to the temple, and she worshiped night and day. Pastor, that is not me. I'm telling you, it is you. God put a worshiper on the inside of you. You need to release that worshiper out of you. You're like, yeah! I'm telling you, live in freedom in 2021. She worshiped night and day. Another thing that I see this, she fasted and she prayed. I'm going to ask the church this. Coming up, you need to prepare your heart, prepare your spirit. But starting January 10th through the 31st, we've done it several years now, but I'm going to ask you to fast and to pray. Come on, how many of y'all know we could do a little fasting? And you need to hear from God how you fast. I've done the Daniel fast. I've done all water before, with shoeing horses with some protein drinks for sure, so I don't pass out. Come on, don't let it be dangerous for you. But you know what? There's something that happens. I love this story of Jesus casting out that devil out of that boy, and he said, only this kind comes through fasting and praying. Pastor tells a story of us going onto an airplane. We passed this businessman, and he said, you two are men of God. I believe he saw that on us because we had been fasting and we had been praying. I'm telling you, if you want to hear from God in 2021, or you just want to set a precedence for the year, there's hope that came to this lady as she fasted and prayed, expecting for this baby to come into the world. And the same can happen to you. We see in Luke 2:38, it says, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. She gave thanks. Are you somebody who's given thanks? Can I look on your Facebook page and see that you're somebody who gives thanks? Are you a complainer or a griper? Are you somebody who gives thanks? Number two is this. She spoke about the child. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. You know, we can have hope for our future in preparation. But my question to you is this, are you speaking about the child? Come on, I really want you to question your heart this morning. Does your coworkers know that Jesus lives on the inside of you? I promise you, all my neighbors, the ones across the street, the ones next to them, on both sides, They know where I stand, and some of them know that I'm a preacher, and some know that I don't know that I am. But I promise you, they know where I stand. You know why? Because nearly my whole block had COVID. And you know who was not scared to go into that house and pray for them when they had COVID? This guy right here. I'm going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. They know where I stand. Are you telling people about Jesus? Come on, I'm telling you, there's a hope that'll come on the inside of you when you tell people about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can't put all that weight on me as the pastor to do that. I'm telling you, the same thing, same miracle working power can happen in your home. There's some things I want to just ask you this morning, and I want to stretch you. Are you somebody who's righteous? Are you somebody who's devout, committed? Are you somebody that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you? Are you somebody who's committed to the house of God? Are you somebody that worships night and day? Are you somebody that fasts and prays? Are you somebody that's given thanks? Are you somebody that is speaking about the child? Come on, who am I talking to this morning? We can have hope for our future. I want to ask you this morning, who is that? I believe there's some of you out there, there's a heaviness that's coming over you, but I believe 2021, you can cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. There's some of you out there that you've stepped back. You said, well, it's just a year of COVID. I'm so sick of that. Come on, it's time for us to stand up and do the will of God for our life. Come on, who's with me this morning? Who's going to stand up and do the will of God? Come on, lift your hand this morning if you say, you know what, 2021, I'm going to be righteous and I'm going to be devout. Come on, lift your hand. Who is it this morning? Who's going to tell people about the Messiah? Come on, who's going to give thanks? Who's going to be committed to the house of God? Who is that this morning? I'm telling you, hope will come into your circumstance. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I lift these up to you that have their hands raised. God, I pray for revival to come into their home. Come on, agree with me. I pray for revival to come into their home. I pray for revival to come into our circumstance in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray for revival that is coming to America right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, if you can use anyone, God, you can use me. You can use these that have their hands raised. And so right now in Jesus' name, Lord, we make a decree. We make a promise. God, we're lifting our hands saying, God, I choose in 2021 to be somebody who is righteous. I choose in 2021 to be somebody who is committed to the Word of God. I choose in 2021 to be somebody who shares the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Him. Lord, I choose in 2021 to be somebody who worships night and day. Lord, I choose in 2021, God, to be somebody who prays. In Jesus' name. Do a miracle. Fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, you can put your hand down. How many of y'all believe 2021, we have hope for our future? Come on. 2021, we have hope for our future. I never want to leave a service without doing this. If you're in here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, just bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning. If you're in here, you can say, you know what, I'm a long ways from the Father. Sin has separated me from God. If you have sin in your life, you don't have to leave here with sin in your life. If you've missed the mark, I'm telling you, he hit the mark for you. When he died, he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're in here and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I can honestly say that I'm away from God. I've separated myself from him. Or maybe you're in here and say, you know what, I've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I'm telling you, you won't make it. You'll never make it. The Bible says he'll be closer than any brother. He'll forgive you. You may not have family members that forgive you, but Jesus will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All you got to do is believe and invite him. Confess with your mouth. Believe that he come live on the inside of you. Don't care what you said. Don't care what you drank. Don't care what you shot in your arm or snorted up your nose. He said, I'll forgive you. In fact, I will use all things to work together for the good of those who love God according to his purpose. He'll make things new in your life, and he wants to make things new for you. If that's you in here and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. With every head bowed, with every head closed, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm away from God. I'm going to count to three. I want you to slip your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you corporately. If you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm away from God, or I need to accept Jesus to come live on the inside of me. One, two, come on, who is it this morning? Be bold. Go into the new year. Go into the new year. New change, new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. Three, just go ahead and raise your hand. If that's you this morning. Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand. Who else is out there? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. I'm going to give it a little more time. Who is that? Just lift your hand. I'm going into the new year righteous. I'm going into the new year devout, committed. Let's do this. Let's pray this together. Say, Jesus. Come on, everybody in the room. Say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died. You were buried. And on the third day, you rose again. I invite you into my heart. Make me new. From this day forward, I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.